Welcome back to the second installment of Good Grief. Just quick review of what we said in part one. We talked about loss and grief and how we typically associate grief to death, like the death of a loved one. And while that is certainly one very important kind of grief, it's not the only version of death that should be grieved, because every loss, and this is what we said in part one, every loss, every one of them, every loss eventually is a death. And because every death gets buried, we either grieve or we don't. And if we experience a loss that we grieve, we're able to bury that loss dead and it can rest in peace. On the other hand, this is the problem, if we experience a loss and we don't grieve it, it still gets buried, but it gets buried alive and it comes back out. And when it comes back out of that grave, it doesn't leave us with any peace. It follows us. It haunts us for decades sometimes, and we don't know where it's coming from. And it's so hard to pinpoint where that sadness and pain and anger, determination, where any of that's coming from. And it's just from an ungrieved loss. That's really important today because we are experiencing so many losses right now. Of course, our temptation when we experience a loss isn't to grieve it, mostly because we just don't enjoy or look forward to sitting in that emotion. Grieving is difficult. And so when we face a loss, even if we know it needs to be grieved, or if we feel it might need to be grieved, our temptation isn't to grieve it. Our temptation is to either medicate it or minimize it. We've all seen people do that. Maybe we've even done it ourselves. I mean, we medicate losses all the time when we try to numb the pain, numb the sadness, numb the rejection, numb the loss. We do that through alcohol, through substance abuse, through binge eating. There's so many different ways that we try to numb the pain. And it works for a few minutes, a few days. The pain doesn't go away, because if you don't grieve that loss, the pain never really goes away. It's always, always with you. So we know that medicating doesn't work, and minimizing really doesn't work either. When we minimize pain, we pretend it doesn't really matter. In fact, we even say to ourselves, it's not a big deal. Why is this really bothering me? There's something must be wrong with me, because this isn't a big deal. I shouldn't feel this sad about the loss. But that idea is a really important idea. In fact, here in part two, I want to talk a lot more about our temptation to minimize losses. See, when we minimize a loss, we minimize our need to grieve the loss. And let me just say it one more time. Ungrieved losses get buried, but they are buried alive. And they come back out of the grave and they haunt us forever. The only way for a loss to really rest in peace is for it to be buried dead. And the only way for that to happen is if we grieve it. So if we don't grieve it because we've minimized it, we minimize the loss, but we don't minimize the pain. We don't minimize the problems that come with it. This is so important when we think about the losses that we experience, because if it matters to you, it actually matters. When it comes to a loss, if it matters to you, it matters. No matter how big or how insignificant you may think it is, if it matters, if the loss matters to you, it matters. But you know, our temptation to minimize our losses also causes us to want to minimize the losses of others. Because if it matters to you, it matters. But if it matters to them, it matters too. When we use this temptation to minimize the loss of others, we encourage them to minimize their loss. We say things to them like it really doesn't matter. It's not that big of a deal. Maybe you've caught yourself minimizing the losses of others in this season right now. Maybe you've said things like, I mean, it's just kindergarten graduation, which if you're 40, a kindergarten graduation, you know it's not that big a deal. But if you're 5, if you're 6, kindergarten graduation is incredibly important. And it being taken away from you, it's a real loss. I mean, it's just the 5th grade walk around the hall. I mean, one day you'll be 35, you'll look back and you'll be like, oh my gosh, who cares about the 5th grade walk around? Well, at 35, if you were caring about that, maybe that'd be a bigger problem. But in 5th grade, missing that ceremony, that kind of rite of passage into middle school, that's a huge deal. It's just one dance recital. It's just one summer camp. There's going to be other summers. It's just one year. It's so easy to minimize the losses of others. So some of you did that to me in part one. I talked about being cut from the JV basketball team of my sophomore year, and you probably even said to yourself, it's just JV, it isn't even varsity, and look at you now. You seem to have been okay, you made it. And in a way, I guess that's true, but it wrecked me at 15. And you know why? Because at 15, basketball was so important to me. And when it was taken away, it was really difficult. It was a real loss. But I get the desire to minimize. I do it to myself, and gosh, I probably do it to other people too. I mean, part of the reason that it took 25 years for me to figure out where this anger was coming from was because I minimized my own losses. And I listened to the people around me who said it doesn't matter. It's just JV basketball. You can always just try out next year. And that minimizing caused me to just internalize the pain and not process through any of it. Now, before you're tempted to kind of minimize this idea, I want to share with you something that the Apostle Paul wrote about pain and about God and how he sees it. If you're not a Jesus person, not a church person, I'm so glad you're listening to this, because our temptation with God is to think of him as some cosmic police officer who's just watching everything we do, and whenever we get stuff wrong, he just zaps you for it, or he's taking notes with his clipboard about all the bad things, but that is not who God is. God is so unbelievably for you, and he cares so much about you. Paul knew that. Paul recognized it because he experienced a lot of loss. And in those losses, he turned to God and he experienced something from God. And he wanted all of the people who were Jesus followers in the city of Corinth to experience the same thing. And I think he wants you and I to experience it too. Here's what Paul wrote about God when it comes to the things that matter to you. He says, "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of," and this is so wonderful, "of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles." Every single one of them. This is so important. When God sees you, he sees everything about you, and he loves you, and he has compassion for you. He has comfort for you in everything, in every single trial, in every single trouble, and in every single loss, no matter how insignificant the people around you may say it is, and no matter how minimal it may even feel to you. See, if it matters to you, it matters. But if it matters to you, it matters to God too. He cares. He cares about every single loss. He cares about every emotion that you have. And he wants to comfort you. And he wants to show compassion to you. But here's the cool part. It isn't just for you. God's comfort and his compassion, it's meant for you, but it's also intended for others too. Look at what Paul says. He says, you know, "Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, of the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles." And he continues, so that we can comfort those in any trouble too, with the comfort that we ourselves have already received from God. This is so important. Because think about how many opportunities we have right now to be God's comforter and show God's compassion to the people around us who have lost so much during the past few months. I mean, these losses that are happening around us, they aren't just happening to us. You're not the only loser during this season. Everybody is a loser in this season. Everybody has lost stuff. I mean, we are racking up losses at an unprecedented rate. I mean, come on. If you're a parent, your kids have lost so much during the past few months. Your spouse has lost so much. Your friends have lost so much. Your neighbors have lost so much. Everybody you know has lost so much. We are all losing at unprecedented rates right now. Every single person, you and the people around you. And our temptation in those losses is initially to minimize them, to minimize our losses, but to also minimize all of these losses. But every one of these losses matter. If it matters to you, it matters. And if it matters to them, it matters. If it matters to them, it matters. If it matters to them, it matters to God. And if it matters to God, it should matter to us. At least for those of us that are Jesus followers. Because we are called as followers of Jesus, not just to experience God's compassion, but to give God's compassion. Not just to feel God's comfort, but to give God's comfort to others. Because you know what people need the most when they experience loss? They need somebody to come around and sit beside them and experience it with them. But they need somebody to come alongside and not say, it's just, it doesn't really matter, you'll get over it, come on, grow up. What they really need is somebody to come alongside and say, yeah, I know, I'm sorry. This is a big deal. You shouldn't just blow past it. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to feel hurt. It's okay to be upset. Let's sit in that for a minute. Let's feel that together for a minute. I've often heard it said that grief experienced in isolation doubles the time, and grief experienced with others cuts it in half. You know, people who minimize grief never get to help it get cut in half. They double the time. But we don't want to be time doublers when it comes to grief. We can be better than that. As a Jesus follower, we have an opportunity to come alongside of people, love them, encourage them, and not minimize what they're experiencing, but just call it what it is, a loss. And if it matters to them, it matters. And it should matter to us too. Maybe the big idea of this whole thing is that we just should never minimize things that matter. We should never minimize what matters. And I know when you hear about other people's losses, we're all gonna be tempted to go, I mean, come on, is that really a big deal? But if it matters to them, it matters. And if it matters to them, it matters to God. And if it matters to God, it should matter to us too. And I don't have to remind you, but there's a lot at stake right now with all of these losses, because there are so many losses and there's so much potential for them to be ungrieved. And there's so much potential for them to be medicated or minimized, and creating so much potential for us to bury them alive. And for us to spend years or maybe decades trying to figure out where the pain's coming from, trying to figure out where the tension's coming from, trying to figure out why we don't feel healthy. And it's all gonna come back to losses that went ungrieved. I can just promise you this is true, because this is my story. And I vividly remember people the morning that I got cut from the basketball team telling me it really doesn't matter. And I wanted to believe them, but I had this war inside. I had this part of me that was so wrecked by losing the thing that was so important. And then I had my friends telling me it wasn't a big deal. And I so wanted to believe them because it allowed me to move past the pain. But it really didn't move me past the pain. It just minimized the loss in the moment. And the next day it came back, and the next week it came back, and for 25 years it kept coming back. And people would say to me, why do you have to win every tennis match? And I'm like, I don't know, why? Because I just don't want to lose, I guess. Why do you have to get so angry when it doesn't go your way? Why do you have to be so determined about everything? Why do you have to be so type A? And I kind of just got to a point where I was like, well, because God made me this way. So my counselor one day helped me unearth that and said, no, this isn't a God making you this way. It's because you just didn't grieve some stuff. And it's not your fault. You didn't know you were supposed to. But you've been a bit of a wreck. And you've been unhealthy. Because you just didn't know it. You didn't know you were supposed to grieve losses. See, here's the thing. What we're experiencing now is painful, and the losses are painful, and every one of them matters, no matter how small it may feel. They all matter. And you may be able to grieve the small ones, and it may be take you a couple of days. It may take some of you a couple of weeks. It may take you even longer. The journey of grief is unique to each person because every person's experience is unique to them and every loss is unique to you. But here's the thing. At some point, we're gonna look back on this. 10 years later, we're gonna look back and go, hey, remember the pandemic of 2020? Remember COVID? Whew, that was a mess, wasn't it? You know what I hope? I hope our story is that, yeah, we lost a lot, but we took some time to process it. We took some time to grieve it. And it didn't haunt us. And the thing that happened in our past is actually in our past because it's not currently surfacing and rearing its ugly head in our present life. I hope that's what we can do. But the only way that's gonna happen is if we don't minimize it ourselves and if we don't minimize it for others. If you're a parent, help your kids process the loss. If you're married, help your spouse process loss. If you have a parent who's alive and they're losing something, sit with them, remind them it's important to process every single loss. If you have neighbors that are losing things, coworkers that are losing things, friends that are losing things, don't blow past it, don't minimize it. Sit with them, help them process, help them grieve. And maybe God can use you to be his comfort and provide his compassion for the people who need it right now absolutely the most. I'd love to pray about that for you because it's hard to do it. It's hard to experience a loss and sit in the emotion. It's just as hard to see somebody losing and see somebody sitting in an emotion and be willing to sit in it with them because we don't like that feeling. And we like to avoid it. That's why we medicate and that's why we minimize. But I'm gonna pray for us that as Jesus followers, we won't kind of succumb to that temptation and instead we will embrace that emotion. And we can do it, not just because we can will ourselves to do it, we can do it because God knows what it feels like. Because God allowed his son to die for you and he felt that pain and he knows what it feels like. So we can sit with others too, and we can engage in that emotion. And in doing so, they'll be better for it. And I have a suspicion that we'll be better for it too. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for understanding our pain and thank you that you don't minimize our pain, that when you see the things that we're losing, you don't tell us to grow up, to put our big boy pants on, to just get over it. You say to us, I see you, I hear you, and I care about you. And I have compassionate comfort for all of your losses. God, I pray that as Jesus followers, I pray that we as Christians, that we will have that same attitude towards everyone in our life who has lost something. And God, I pray that maybe we won't even wait till it gets brought up. I pray that we will be the kind of people who go and ask people about it. How are you doing? How are you feeling? I know you lost the summer camp. I know you lost the high school senior graduation. I know you lost this season of soccer. I know you lost those things. How are you feeling and can I sit with you in that? God, just help us to be that kind of follower, not a minimizer, so that we can move past things and allow our past to just be our past. Jesus, thank you that you do that with us. Thank you for doing that for us. We love you so much. Man, we pray all of this in your name. Amen.